Okay. The Gemara is in the middle of speaking about honoring the parents, honoring father and mother. So now the Gemara is going to discuss, bring down an incident that happened to show that even when a parent does something wrong, how are you allowed to correct them? You're not allowed to tell them, hey, you did something wrong. Because that's also disrespect to the parents. So Gemara says like this, Masna lo Rav Yecheskel l'Rami Brei. Rav Yecheskel taught Rami, his son, the following Mishnah. Hanisrafim b'niskolim. Okay, the din is like this. There's four capital punishments. Skila, Sreifa, Hereg, and Chenek. Okay? Now, the Chacham, what's the order of the four? There's a din that if somebody does two sins, okay, that deserve capital punishment, you give them the stricter of the punishment. What happens if five people did various sins? Some did a more severe sin and less severe punishment. And they get mixed up, and you don't know who's whom. So the din is you have to give them all the lesser of the punishments. You can't give them a stricter punishment because it's not fair. Okay? No, there's... Okay. We got you ready to go. Yeah. So there's a din like this. The four capital punishments that the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin are like this: stoning, skila, burning, hereg, which is killing by a sword, or choking. By the way, it's interesting. Stop parenthetically. How the Mishnah in Sanhedrin tells how they did these prophecies. You know, you think stoning is they stand up against the one, everybody throws stones at them. That's not what they did. They went up on a tower two stories high, and he threw the guy off. That was stoning, by the way. They threw him off to the ground.
Huh? Who's supposed to throw stones at?
I'm telling you, that's not what the Mishnah says.
That's not that bad.
1 minute, you throw the guy off the cliff, off the two-story tower, and he falls. If he dies, you put a stone on his head. That's the stoning part of it. If not, then you take stones and you throw at him until he dies. Most of the time, though, they died just being thrown off this two-story building. How did they burn the guy? So the Gemara said they didn't burn him at the stakes like you see in the pictures.
Wait, the burning wasn't one of the...
Four. Stoning, burning, oh. Choking, and sword.
Okay.
Okay? Now, certain Averis that you did, certain sins you did, you got stoning. Certain sins you did burning, and so on. What is burning? Burning wasn't, didn't burn the guy at the stakes. They gave him very hot lead to drink. Especially burning hot lead, and they forced his mouth open, and they poured it down, and he died. Chenek is, they took a cloth, trapped it around the guy's neck, and two people pulled till the guy went. Hereg was chopped off the head. Okay, very simple. Shechita, you know, chopped off the head. So there's an argument in the Mishnah between Rab Shimon and the Chachamim, which is the stricter of the punishments. Chachamim hold stoning is the stricter of the punishments. Rab Shimon says burning is stricter than stoning. Okay? Like we said, what's the difference if you stone or you burn? So this aver, like if you desecrate Shabbos openly in Warner, you get stoned. Sreifa, if a Bas Kohen committed adultery, so normally you get choking for adultery. A Bas Kohen gets burnt. Okay, they're very, you know, the Gemara enumerates all the sins he gets skila for, all the sins he gets Sreifa. Now, what happens... What we're learning now is, you got a bunch of people mixed up. Let's say there are five people mixed up. Two were supposed to get stoned, and three were supposed to get burnt. And you don't know who's whom. So which punishment do you give them? So the din is, you give them the lesser of the two. Now, what's the lesser of the two?
Burn.
Well, according to the Chachamim, burning is less than stoning. According to Rav Shimon, stoning is less than burning. Okay? So this is what the Gemara is talking about now. The Gemara, just to give you a head up over here, the Gemara is telling us this din because a father is teaching this halacha to his son, and the son's brother, meaning another son, contradicted his father. So the Gemara is bringing out this whole story over here to tell us the story that happened. If he was right the way he rebuked his father for making a mistake in learning. Because we're learning honoring your parent. Honoring your parent, we're going to see later in the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you see your father doing a sin, like let's say somebody sees their father eating non-kosher meat. You're not allowed to tell him, hey, you're sinning, you're eating non-kosher meat. You're not allowed to tell him that. That's disrespect. What you have to tell him is, doesn't it say in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat pig? You know, doesn't it say in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat tray? You have to say it in a respectful way. Okay? So over here, they're going to talk about a case in learning that a son told off his father, and the other rabbi in the Gemara says to him, hey, disrespectful to your father. Okay, so it says like this. Hanisrafim beniskolim. What happens if a bunch of criminals that were supposed to get burnt got mixed up with the stoning guys? Rab Shimon Eimer, Rab Shimon says like this. What punishment do they get? Rab Shimon says, Yidainu beskila, they get stoned. Shasrefa chamore, because burning is stricter. That's Rab Shimon's opinion. Rab Shimon holds, burning is stricter than stoning. So therefore, if they get mixed up, what's the lesser of the evil? According to Rab Shimon, stoning. So they get stoned. So this is what Rav Yecheskel said to his son Rami. Okay? Amalei Rav Yehuda Berei, so Rav Yehuda was a brother of Rami, the son of Rav Yecheskel. He said to him, Abba, don't teach it like this. This is what the son told the father. Father, don't teach it like this. Meaning you're wrong. What should you do? Because my Yerisrefa Chamura, why do you say that the reason is because burning is stricter? Say it another reason. Because the majority is stoning. Meaning like this. In the Gemara, there's a certain style of language, okay, that is accurate. Okay? The Gemara said before, the case was, the burners got mixed up with the stoners. Now, by definition, what was the majority? If you say A, got mixed into B. The burning got mixed with the stoners. Right. So normally it means the smaller group got mixed with the bigger group. So if you're saying burning got mixed with the stoners, so what is the bigger group? The stoning. So he says, so why do you have to say it? Say, what's the majority? Stoning. Majority is stoning, so you give everybody stoning. There is a law in Torah, you go by the majority. Right? That's the halacha, you go by the majority. Well, that's what he said now.
Who is saying that? The son?
The other son.
The other son.
There's a father and two sons.
Right.
Okay? Rav Yecheskel is the father. He was telling this halacha to Rami. And he says, why does Rav Shimon say that you give him stoning? Because burning is stricter. So his brother, Rav Yehuda, was listening. Said to his father, hey, Pop, you're making a mistake. Don't say it like that. Say a different reason. Because the majority is the people that were stoned. So say it that way. Learn it the other way. Not that the burners got mixed with the stoners. The stoners got mixed with the burners. Okay? So therefore, what is the majority? The majority of burners. So Rav Shimon says, no. Nevertheless, you don't go by the majority. Like you said, by punishment, you don't necessarily go by the majority. You go by the lighter of the punishments. Amalei, so Rav Yecheskel, the father, said back to his son, who corrected him. He said, no, you're wrong. The father said to the son, because Yehachi HaMesefa, look at the end of the Mishnah, it says another thing. Chachamim Eimrim, Chachamim say, that if the people got mixed up, the Chachamim say, Yudainu B'Sreifa, you get burnt. Why? Shaskila Chamura, because stoning is stricter. Because the Chamur stoning is stricter. Right? So he says, my iri, diskina chamura. Why you tell me the reason is because stoning is stricter? Say that the majority gets burnt. Because why did he rectify the case? The stoners got mixed with the burners. So he said, why you tell me because it's a lesser punishment? Say simple. Because it's the majority. Amalei said like this. This is all, again, the Gemara is just bringing this down, not for the actual law itself, just to show us an example of how to honor a parent. Okay? So he says like this, Amalei Rav Yehuda defends himself and says, Hasim Rabbanon Rukamle Rab Shimon. Over there, Rabbi Chachomim are speaking to Rab Shimon, meaning, you say Sreifa Chamura, you say burning is stricter, and we say no Skira Chamura. Okay, this is basically what the Gemara wants to bring out. Okay? So therefore, from this whole story, there was a debate going on between a father and a son. The son said to the father, you made a mistake, and so on. So, Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, this is what the Gemara wants to bring out. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, so Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinina, it's an expression, sharp one, because he was very sharp. Leitema lach lavochachi. Don't talk to your father like that. Don't tell your father you made a mistake. Why? The Tanya, because we learned in Halacha the follow. We learned, if somebody's father was violating a sin, you're not allowed to tell him. Father, you transgress Torah, that you're not allowed to tell him. That's disrespect. What are you allowed to tell him? Isn't it written in the Torah, this and this law, that the father himself should understand that he made a mistake? Okay? So basically, this again, because we're in the middle of the Gemara about honoring the parents, the Gemara is bringing out this story just to show that a son rebuked his father. By the way, in Halacha, it says an interesting thing. A son, in learning, is allowed to disagree with his father. But like the Gemara is saying, it has to be done in a respectful way. Can't say you're wrong. You can say, maybe we should look at it this way, maybe, you know, this is the way to look at it. But Rav Shmuel said, Rav Yehuda, you know, you need respect for your father. That's not the way to talk.
In learning, he can disagree this way. Where isn't it said in the Torah that it should be this and this?
Right.
But what about other situation? You said, like, if he's, you were using an example, like he's eating non-kosher food, that also he says it, isn't it say in the Torah that...
That you shouldn't eat non-kosher food.
And what about mother?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Mothers are never wrong. If you don't believe me, ask them. No, the same thing. Father, mother, same exact thing. Yeah. So the Gemara thought now, it's like, what are you telling the father? The Gemara thought, it's written in the Torah like this, like you're sarcastic with the parent. So the Gemara says, you're distressing him because you're sarcastic. Allah Amen, what you're supposed to say is like this. Mikra kosi b'terekach. The Torah says like this. In other words, you still have to tell the father if he's making a mistake. You have to say, you know, the Torah says, don't eat not kosher. Don't, you know, you have to tell him in a, basically, a very respectful way.
And this was, father was telling his son, don't talk to your father like
that. No. No, another rabbi.
Another rabbi.
Yeah.
Overheard.
Yeah.
But what about if there was no other rabbi and the son speaks like that to him like that, how would be the response?
The father probably didn't feel proper to do it. He should have.
The father should say.
He should have done it. Because he has to teach. Yeah, but these were not little kids. See, the difference is these were already great rabbis. He thought that in learning you can, you know, be disrespectful because it's God's Torah, so. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, now the Gemara continues. Consider with us. Thank you. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara is discussing various scenarios of honoring a parent. Elazar ben Matthew, Amen. Elazar the son of Matthew says like this. Abba Amen Ashkini Mayim. What happens if a father says to a child, get me a cup of water. Get me a drink. Now you have to understand, in the olden times, you didn't have a sink. You wanted a sink. You used to have to go to the river or to the well. I mean, it was a piece of work.
Pump the water.
Yeah. Well, mitzvah lasis. And at the same time, there's another lamed beis. Like 10 lines in the bottom of the page. The question is like this. A father tells his son to do a mitzvah. And all of a sudden, the son walks out, and he sees a funeral procession. Now there's a mitzvah to accompany a dead body. But the problem is the father told him to do something. Which one should he do? What should he do? No. So he says, Elazar ben Matthew says like this. If my father would tell me, Ashkini Mayim, give me water, mitzvah lasis, and there's a mitzvah to do, I would leave the mitzvah of honoring my father, and I would do the mitzvah. Why? Listen to this. Shani va'aba chayavim b'mitzvah. Because my father is also obligated to do the mitzvah. So therefore, and that's the way he's learning, there's a dissenting view over here that we're soon going to learn. But this opinion says, if your father tells you to do something, and God tells you to do something, who do you listen to?
God.
That's what the Gemara says later on. What happens if your father tells you to sin? Father says, do a sin. So who do you listen to? So the Gemara says, you don't listen to your father. Why? Because your father also has to listen to Hashem. So he's, but the question over here is, who told you to listen to your father? God did.
Sure.
That's why there's a dissenting view over here. But this opinion says, Elazar ben Matthew says, listen, my father tells me to do something, God tells me to do something. Who do I listen to?
God also tells you on your father.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But he says, this is indirect, this is direct. So God tells me, do the mitzvah, I'm going to go do the mitzvah. Is he ben Yehuda? Amen? No. He makes a thing like this. If it's possible for somebody else to do the mitzvah, not honoring your father, to accompany the dead body, to also say the achedim, let other people do it, and you do the mitzvah of honoring your father. Then he should go honor his father. But if the mitzvah cannot be done through somebody else, you taka do the mitzvah, not listen to your father. Now, Rashi explains over here, this is what they say. From Rashi, the implication is, that's only a mitzvah that you cannot do later. In other words, right now I have a choice. Doing what my father wants, or doing a mitzvah that if I don't do it now, I can't do it. Then the Gemara says, if nobody else could do the mitzvah, you do it.
You can't do a mitzvah through Avera, not listen to your father's Avera. If you want to do something, you're not going to do it. And you tell him you're going to go do it, and then you don't do it. That's Avera.
Well,
and then to do a mitzvah,
you do it afterwards.
It takes 5 hours to do it.
No, but there's another issue over here that's discussed at the bottom, which is a very interesting issue also. There's a rule in Torah. While you're doing one mitzvah, you don't have to do a mitzvah. You don't have to do another mitzvah.
When you're involved in one mitzvah.
If you're involved in one mitzvah, you don't have to do another mitzvah. Doesn't matter which mitzvah is more important. Like if I'm in the middle of a mitzvah, and a more important mitzvah, so to speak, comes up, I don't have to do that mitzvah.
Even if it's time bound.
Why? Because right now I'm doing a mitzvah.
Is that like for discussion or is it just black and white?
Black and white.
Except for if there's nobody else that could do it.
No, once I'm doing a mitzvah, so they ask, if the guy's already doing the mitzvah, kibud av v'aim, why does he have to do the other mitzvah? So the Rishonim answer, it's speaking in a case he didn't start doing the mitzvah of the father yet. Once he's doing the mitzvah for the father, he doesn't have to do the other mitzvah. In fact, the famous case in the Gemara in Bava Kamma is a very interesting case where you find a strange scenario of doing one mitzvah, you don't have to do another mitzvah. First, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. If you find a lost article in the street, you have a mitzvah of watching it, and if it's identifiable, and wait until the owner comes back. Okay, so the Gemara asks like this: is that called a guy that watches for free, or a guy who's paid to watch? Because if I watch something you for free, only if it's negligence. But if it's stolen or lost, I don't have to pay for it. If you pay me to watch it,
right, then you gotta pay.
Then if it's stolen or lost, I'm obligated to pay. Because if you get paid for something, you have to watch it better. Negligence, under any case, I mean, I'm watching an animal, the barn is open, I leave the barn open, that's negligence. Right? The talking though, a shemer chinam means a guy who watches for free. If it's stolen or lost, he doesn't pay. A guy that gets paid has to pay if it was stolen or lost. Okay?
So now, negligence, he doesn't pay?
He always pays. Everybody pays.
But even though he's not paid, and he make a mistake, it's negligence.
He has to pay.
He has to pay.
He has to pay.
Okay.
Because he's negligent. When you're watching something, that means you accept responsibility.
Right.
By the way, if I come to you and said, you walk in the street, I meet you and say, okay, here's my animal, watch it for me, and I run off. And you never accepted responsibility, then you don't have to pay anything. You're speaking, I asked you for a favor. Okay? I'm going away for a day, watch my dog. Okay? I'm asking for, I'm not paying you, I'm asking for a favor. So if it's stolen or lost, you don't have to pay. Negligence, you have to pay.
He has to swear though before
he has to swear that that's what happened. Otherwise, a lie. I mean, you know.
Right.
Now, a guy who finds an animal in the street and it has a mark on it that you can identify it. So the Torah says you have to take it home and take care of it. It's a mitzvah. So there's an argument in the Gemara, what din, watchman do I have? Am I for free or am I paid?
There's a value to mitzvah, right? If you see somebody's mitzvah, they have to pay for it.
No, you mean he can go back to the guy and say, I watched this for you, give me some.
No. The only question is, what am I obligated for? If it was stolen or lost, do I have to pay or not? You can't ask the guy for money because the Torah obligates you to do it.
Right.
Guy can say, I didn't tell you to do it, God told you to do it. What do you want from me? But we're speaking now, what is the obligation when it comes to that? Do you have to pay if it was stolen or lost or not? So Rabbi the Gemara in the sixth paragraph above a comma says, we're watching for free, not getting paid. Not getting paid. The Aviation said you're getting paid. Now listen to this. Why are you getting paid?
Otherwise, you're
going to... No. Listen to this. This is real Jewish. He says, because while you're watching it, you're doing a mitzvah. If a poor man comes to and asks you for tzedakah, I don't have to give him the tzedakah. Because I'm watching an animal. So I save money that I would have had to give him to tzedakah.
You can't do both.
No, speaking in case you can't. You're right. She can't do both. So the Yisrael said, because you could have saved money that you would have to give to tzedakah, you called paid. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, that's the concept. Is a mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah. So the Gemara asks. I mean, the Rishonim over here ask.
That's not income. That's just.
One second. If the father is asking you to do a mitzvah and you start doing the mitzvah, right? So why should you have to do another mitzvah? And I'll take a couple of that, please. Why should you have to do another mitzvah? No, I'll take the seven up there. Why should you have to do the other mitzvah? So the answer is, you didn't start serving your father yet.
Right.
So now you have a choice of two mitzvahs. Which one should you do? Your father or the other mitzvah? So the halacha is, because he says, Amen Mas halacha kisi ben Yehuda. The halacha is like this. If somebody else could do the mitzvah, let him do it and you honor your father. Because nobody else can do that mitzvah.
Right.
Honoring your father is only you could do. If there's somebody else that can do the mitzvah, I'm sorry, nobody else can do the mitzvah, go do it.
I love it. Now let's go back to the main point. The son, the father asked the son to go out to get me water. He already started doing the mitzvah.
Oh, you're right. He started going, then he already wouldn't have to go to the funeral.
Because he started going out, and then he noticed that
the... Okay, that was the original case. But now the Gemara is saying that's not the Rishonim say that's not the case. That's initially the way the Gemara learned. But the commentators of the Gemara say it can't be the case like that. It's speaking, before he started going, like he's standing in the street with his father. And the father says, do me a favor, get me a drink. And all of a sudden, there's a funeral going by.
Okay, in that case, the father also saw the funeral, so he was also exposed to that mitzvah.
Right,
so
but the question, does the son still have to go get the cup of water?
But the both were exposed to the...
But what came first?
The same time.
The same time. They were, they, Because if he was in the house...
And he went out, then he would start doing the mitzvah already, right.
And the father wasn't even exposed to the mitzvah of
the funeral. Right. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Can a father forgive his honor?
Okay, do we answer the last one?
The what?
The last one we was talking about the
Shomer Chinam.
Right, whether another, is he getting paid?
No, I said there's an argument in the Gemara.
Oh, so it's still an argument.
Yeah, okay. Tysus rules Shomer Chinam, the Rambam rules Shomer Sachar.
But isn't there a value to mitzvah?
Shomer Sachar sounds a
little bit. That's only...
If somebody's mitzvah, you have to pay him.
You have to pay him X amount of money.
So there is a value to mitzvah.
Yeah, but that's only if somebody steals your mitzvah. But a mitzvah is not called getting paid when I do it. There's a case, the Gemara discusses, I don't remember exactly in Chesh Shemesh, but the Gemara says, literally, Dav, I think, certain amount of gold, the value of a certain amount of gold. Today is pretty high, the gold.
Yeah.
What happens if you were about to do a mitzvah, and I stole the mitzvah from you?
That happens.
Yeah. So then I owe you money. The Gemara says there's a value, a financial value, like if I steal the bottle of soda, yeah, the soda costs $2, so I have to give you $2.
Say I was going to visit the grandma.
No.
Is an example, like for instance, you know, no.
No, I'm saying...
The mitzvah, let's say they're visiting somebody, for instance...
You can both go visit. Uh-huh. Here I'm saying, the classic example in the Gemara is... You know, when you shech the bird, you have to cover the blood. There's a mitzvah to cover the blood. So what happens, I brought the animal to the sheikh, the bird, the animals, you don't do it, the bird to shech, and the blood comes out, and I was about to cover it. And somebody came quicker than me, you snooze, you lose. The guy came, and he covered the blood. Now I can't do the mitzvah anymore, because it's covered. Right? So you took away my mitzvah. So the din is you have to pay me because you stole an object from me. It's called a mitzvah.
And that Gemara has specified how you review that with the gold.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to what we were discussing before, where Rambam it was, it says Shomer Sachar.
Like Rav Yosef.
Rav Yosef says Shomer Sachar.
Right.
Okay, because he can't give tzedakah, so therefore he saves money?
Right.
But if
the poor man came to me, but once I'm doing a mitzvah, I don't have to do another mitzvah.
Sure, but how's he saving money? It's because that's a knock anyway.
No.
Why not?
Because I only have to give. Halacha, if the poor man comes to me. Do I have a mitzvah to go look for poor people? Yeah, if a poor man comes to me, I have a mitzvah to give him. If I have no mitzvah to go look for poor, it's nice, you know, it's a wonderful thing, but you don't have a mitzvah to go running in the street, who's poor?
By the way, on that subject, you have these people come to the shul. It's just anybody is qualified, or is there?
Well, they're asking for
officially to get the letter.
Don't they that go to Ravai?
Yeah, they got a letter to qualify.
They go to Ravai.
Listen, some of them probably have more money than a lot of other people give them the money.
I believe that.
But
if they're asking though, you should give them.
Yeah,
the way I look at it is that even if he has it. If the person feels the need to ask for it,
that's right.
So that's a mitzvah to.
I tell the guys in the show many times I've spoken about this. It's a business investment that when somebody asks you for money, to give him money.
That's right.
Regardless. Yeah. Not to be picky. Why? Because think about it. God works with us the way we work with others. Called deed for deed. Right? A guy comes and asks me for money. If I say, 1 minute, you deserve it, don't you? So when we ask God for things, Hashem's also going to stop, 1 minute. You deserve it, you don't deserve it. And if you're a picky guy, then I'll be picky with you too. Right? But if God sees we're a guy that somebody comes, we give. Then God says, oh, you give whether they deserve it or not. I'll give you whether you deserve it or not. That's what the Torah says God works.
The way I see it is if a guy is asking for money, obviously he's asking you for money. Because
I would rather be on the giving end than on the receiving end, regardless. Okay.
The Lord has us to a point to come and ask for money. A lot of times, not for themselves anyway.
Yeah.
For his institutions.
Right. Yeah, okay, but they get a cut, they get a commission. I mean, they're not doing it for their health. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this.
I think a cheshbon is a scheme of the Yetzirah. Honestly, if you do a cheshbon with a guy, I think it's a really big
thing. The best thing is, don't ask, don't tell.
Guys,
no, because then God will give us without asking.
Right.
That's all.
Okay. He's asking you.
That's the way the Gemara says Hashem works. We learn it out from a pasuk. Hashem does it the way we do. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, kibbut av ha'im, right? Can a father say to the son, you don't have to honor me? Is he allowed to forgive his status or not? So the Gemara says five lines in the bottom of the page. At the end of the line. Amar Reb Yitzchak bar Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Rav Chista. Ha'av shemachal al kvedei, a father renounces his honor, kvedei machal, his honor is renounced. That means, then the child doesn't have to honor him. What happens? Ha'av shemachal al kvedei, if a rav, a teacher, forgives his honor, ain't kvedei machal. Then you can't. Okay? And we're going to see about this in a second. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says no. Afilu Rav Shemachal al Kvedei, even a teacher who forgives his honor, Kvedei Machal, his honor is forgiven. Not only a father could, but a teacher could also. To be a Torah teacher. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, where do we see this? Because we find even God renounces his honor. Because it says, Vashem, when the Jews were in the desert, God led them during the day. Right? Now, if God is the king, and he's leading the Jewish people, normally, the king is led. The king doesn't lead. Unless when you go to war. But normally, the servants go, and then the king goes. Here we find Hashem went before. So if Hashem could do it, the Rebbe for sure could do it. Amar Rava. Rabbi said, what type of comparison is between God and a teacher? God is the boss over everything. He could do whatever he wants. But how do you know a teacher could? What's the comparison? When it comes to the case of Hashem, Alma Delehu, the world is his. Vitara Delehu, and the Torah is his. Machaleli Kayi can renounce his honor. Hacha Teira Delehu, is the Torah the teacher's? It's God's Torah, not his. In other words, like this. Like the Gemara says, when you honor a scholar, you're not honoring the person. You're honoring his Torah knowledge, which is God's. Right? So how could the scholar forgive his honor if it's not his? It's God's. It's God's Torah. Makes sense. Yes, he says. Hocha Torah delay, is it his Torah that he could renounce? I understand Hashem, it's his Torah, it's his world, he can do whatever he wants. He's the boss. But how could a person who's being respected because of his Torah knowledge, that's not his Torah knowledge. It's God's knowledge. So how can you renounce it? Hadad Amar Rava, then Rava changed his mind. He said, yes, Torah delay, the Torah becomes his. And this interest, this is the halacha, that a Rebbe could be meichel his kavod. He could renounce his kavod. Why? Because the Gemara is going to prove from a pasuk that when you learn Torah, granted it's God's Torah, but it becomes yours.
You studied it, you have this.
Like he quotes a pasuk. The Chziv says, Uve Torah soy, in his Torah, meaning the person's Torah, he'll... Right? In other words, at the beginning of that pasuk, it says, Torah Hashem Cheftzai, it's the Torah of God. And then it says, and in your Torah, you will be diligent day and night. So what do you learn from there? That Torah becomes yours. So granted, it's Hashem's Torah, but once you learn it, it becomes yours. And if it's yours, you can renounce it. The Gemara's question was, if Torah is God's wisdom, how can you renounce God's wisdom? So the answer is, because it's not God's wisdom, it's yours.
Because it's a wisdom.
It's the wisdom that you acquired.
You acquired.
Right.
But that same subject, are you born with the wisdom, or...
Nobody's
I mean, some people, you know, they just read, don't get anything out of it. Some people read, and they get the wisdom out of it. Or go through life, they become wise, and some people...
remain stupid. Putting it bluntly.
I mean, there is
there are people that are born smarter than others. There are people that by nature are kinder than others. There are people that by nature are smarter than others.
Right.
Okay? But nevertheless, from Hashem's perspective, more is demanded from a smart person than from a person who's not so smart. Every person has to do what their ability is to do.
Potential.
So if God bless somebody with a good head, very good. It's sometimes it's not too good, by the way. Sometimes being too smart, like, you know, a lot of these kids are geniuses, mamish, off the charts. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of social issues.
Yeah.
When you have an 8-year-old kid sitting with high school, college kids. Yeah. I mean, who says it's a bracha? Maybe it's a curse. You know?
Is it a problem?
Yeah. I wouldn't want my kids to be geniuses. I would like my kids to be smart, but not geniuses. Because then you have problems with them. No, really. And then, God made them. Okay, so you don't complain.
But also there's other problems, like everything comes to them easy. They can't handle the difficulties.
Right, right. So then in life, the difficulties, they commit suicide. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, it becomes very complicated. But this issue of Chokhmah, like, for instance, when I pray, it says that, when we all want Chokhmah, and the Chacham is called, a person who has the Chokhmah.
Yeah.
Then why do we pray for that?
What should you pray for?
what's that? That is the how to use the Chokhmah?
How to use the Chokhmah. Listen, Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest of all men. Okay, so in the Navi it says a story that God came to Shlomo HaMelech. He said, ask for something and I'll give it to you.
Ask
for something, I'll give it to you. So Shlomo HaMelech thought, and he realized if he has wisdom, he'll have it all. In fact, there's a Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara says, "Man the Darbe Kulabe." One who has intellect has everything, because then he'll know how to make money. He'll know how to, they'll just. So God said, "Because you asked for that, I'll give you everything."
But here over there, he's asking for wisdom. He's
right.
Asking for Chokhmah.
So do we?
But here we ask for that.
No, we say Chaneinu Midcha Chokhmah Binadas. Give us all three.
All three.
The reason why that's the first after the initial three openers, because the Gemara said what differentiates a human from animals is wisdom. So what we want to show right away, what's the first thing we're asking for? What makes us uniquely human? Which is wisdom.
There's a lot of intelligent people who don't have chacham.
That's right.
In other words,
common sense is very uncommon.
Exactly.
Do you know there's a lot of brilliant academic people that have no common sense?
No common sense.
Mamish, no common sense.
That's right. There's lacking chokhmah, absolutely. A lot of people say, I'm very intelligent.
Yeah, there's book knowledge, but there's practical. And you can have people, and there are a lot of kids that do awful in school, but they're very street smart. Very street smart. That's, from day one. Nothing changed, by the way. Okay, so the Gemara asks the question of what we just said. Eini, I'll ask you a question on this. The Gemara tells a story. Rava Mashka Behilula Debrei. Rava's son got married. And Rava was going around pouring drinks. Like, fathers of the groom do. They go around pouring drinks. Dal Kisa L'Rapapa L'Ravuna B'Rei D'Rav Yeshua. So you offered a cup to Rapapa and Ravuna B'Rei D'Rav Yeshua. And they stood up when he came in. But when he offered a drink to other rabbis, Rav Mari and Rav Pinchas, the sons of Rav Chista, they didn't get up for them, for Rava. Now Rava was, so to speak, the primary authority in his day. See, his son's getting married. He comes to two rabbis. He's going on pouring drinks to everybody. So he comes to two rabbis. They stand up for him.
The two rabbis stand up.
And the other two rabbis don't. Uh-huh. Yeah? So the Gemara says, he got upset. And he said to them, to the two that didn't stand up, Hanu Rabbonon, Rabbonon, these rabbis are rabbis, and these rabbis are not rabbis. Meaning, the ones that rise don't know that halacha. Only you guys know what to do, not to stand. And it was a sarcastic debate. He was upset that the other two didn't stand up for him. So he said, no, trust me, I'll explain this in a second. So he said, oh, these guys are not rabbis. Only you guys that didn't stand up, you're rabbis. Vesu, and then the Gemara says, oh, so what's the story over here? If you stop to think for a second, Rava really demanded that she give him honor. Now, he was their Rav. Okay? Yet, he himself renounced his honor by serving drinks. So, L'chayne, he renounced his honor by going around to serve the drinks. So why did they have to stand up for him? He's renouncing his order. His honor. The fact that he was upset that they didn't stand up shows that even a Rav who renounces his honor, you still have to give him honor. Which contradicts what Rav just said. Rav said a Rav could forgo his honor.
Maybe it's just talking about Derek Harris. He was upset about
Derek Harris. One second. Vesu, and then the Gemara tells another similar story. That Papa was serving drinks at a wedding of his son. He offered a cup of wine, probably a mashka, whatever, to Rabbi Yitzchok, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, but they called me kamei, and he didn't stand up, and he was upset. So you see that even a Rebbe who renounces his order, his honor, still needs to be respected. Right? But that's contradicted to Rava. Rava said, once you renounce your honor, you don't have to be given honor. So the Gemara says, you're right, and this is what you said. They should have shown him some token honor. Granted, they weren't obligated to give him full honor, but something token type of an honor they should have given him. And that's what he was upset about. Now let me explain something. There's no ego trips over here. You're talking about these rabbis of the Gemara that had no evil inclination. Me, for sure, doesn't know what that means. I don't think you guys either know. These people had no evil inclination. Okay? Their whole life was, what does Torah want you to do? Okay? It's like, to give you an example, when a parent says to a child, you're not allowed to sit in my seat. Or a parent says to a child, you have to listen to me. That's not ego. It's not ego. It's a fact. You have to listen to me. Because I'm your father, and you're the son, and you have to listen to me. You're not allowed to sit in my seat, because the Torah says you need to respect me. It's not an ego trip. Instead, when a parent says to a kid, don't contradict me, it's not ego. That's what Rabbi did over here. He's going on serving drinks. He sees his students, these were all his students, not standing up. He said, what's wrong with you guys? Don't you know that you have to stand up? So the Gemara's question was, so you see, even though he renounced his honor, you still have to honor him? The Gemara says, no, you don't have to honor him, but something decent they should have done.
Perhaps he'd be upset also if he saw someone not saying a bracha on food. He'd get also upset you're not saying a bracha.
Right, it was screaming them the same way. But there was no ego over here to say he was upset because his ego was deflated. You know, there's no thing, it's his students. You have to teach a student, right from wrong. And that's what Rava was doing. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. It says like this. Amar Rav Ashi. Afilu l'man d'amar Rava. By the way, there's a very interesting din. The halacha is that a father can renounce his honor and a Rebbe could. Okay, for instance, there's a din, Pesa by the Seder. You have to recline.
Right.
Okay, you have to recline when you eat. The Gemara says in Shulchan Aruch being down that a child in the presence of the father reclines. A student in the presence of the Rebbe doesn't recline.
Even in Pesach.
Unless the Rebbe says recline. Oh. Okay? Because then he has the right to renounce his order. Children, there's an assumption in Torah that the parent probably allows the kid to recline. Because he's more chilled. You know, let him recline. But a student needs to get permission from the Rebbe. But the Gemara says now that even according to the opinion that says a Rebbe could renounce his honor, but a Nasi, the Jewish leader, cannot. That means even if he says recline, you're not allowed to. Even if he says don't give me honor, you're not allowed to listen to him. King is what? We'll see you more. One second. Even according to the opinion that says a Rav could forego his renounce his honor, Nasi Shemochel al Kvede, a Nasi and Kvede Mochel. Okay? Now, a Nasi, as Rashi defines, is the leader of the Jewish people. That's the definition of a Nasi.
So if a Nasi is serving 20 people, is renouncing it?
Yeah, but you still...
Shouldn't.
No, you
still shouldn't.
No, the Nasi could say, do it, but you're not allowed to listen. That's what he's saying. In fact, the Gemara is soon going to say whether a Nasi could or not is an argument. But a Melech, a king, everybody says he has no right to renounce his honor. Well. It's interesting. By the Rebbe Seder, okay, the Rebbe used to eat upstairs in the previous Rebbe's house. So when the previous Rebbe was alive, so only the previous Rebbe reclined. Nobody else did. Not the Rebbe, not the brother. No, nobody reclined. There was a minion of sitting by the table. Because he has a din of a Nasi. And even if he would say recline, they wouldn't. After he passed away, after the previous Rebbe passed away, so the table used to be set like this. It was a long, like a dining room table. Okay? The previous Rebbe sat at the head. The Rebbe had an older brother-in-law. They married the older daughter of the previous Rebbe. So he sat on the right, and the Rebbe sat on the left. And then the Chassidim sat around. So the Rebbe said here, and even after the previous Rebbe passed away, the Rebbe would never sit in his father-in-law's seat. He would still say here. So during the lifetime of the previous Rebbe, the Rebbe never reclined by the Seder. The first year after the previous Rebbe passed away, 1950, so the Rebbe reclined. But they would still set up the dishes and everything as if he was there. Okay? But nobody sat in the seat, of course, and they set up the Seder plate as if he would be there. But that first year, the Rebbe reclined. So somebody said to the Rebbe, why are you reclining? The Rebbe is here, you know? Because the Rebbe would always say, he is the leader of our generation still, and he's the Nasi in it. So the Rebbe said, a feeling cannot undo halacha. Physically, he's not here, so physically, I have an obligation to recline. Nobody else did because of the Rebbe. Right? But saying the Rebbe said, physically he's not here. Spiritually I feel that he's here, but bottom line is he's not here, so then I have to recline.
Didn't take a year before Rebbe became accepted.
And he accepted, but he was a Rebbe right away.
That's a great story. I remember that. That's a great story. That story right there teaches volumes.
It does.
That teaches volumes. It's amazing.
And when Rebbe's teacher, he wouldn't sit down about...
The Rebbe had a teacher that taught him when he was a kid in Russia. And then the Rebbe advanced more than the teacher. The only one that was able to teach him was his father. So,
there's so many
the first time this teacher got out of Russia, he came to the Rebbe. And he taught the Rebbe when the Rebbe was a kid. Not, you know, the big... he walked into the Rebbe's room, the Rebbe stood up for him. For his teacher. And the Rebbe was the Rebbe. And the Rebbe told him to sit. he said, I'm not going to sit if the Rebbe is not sitting. So they both ended up standing the whole time. The Rebbe refused to sit because it was his teacher, and he didn't want to sit because the Rebbe was standing.
Wow. How long did it stand?
It was a while.
From the story you said before, though, you know.
But you know, there was a story. Remember he said on Living Torah the other week? The Rebbe would walk out of his mother's apartment and like walk sideways to fix a picture.
Fixing the furniture.
Yeah, that he, because he never wanted to. The Rebbe's mother said that since her son, the Rebbe, was bar mitzvah, she never saw his back.
Wow.
When he used to visit her and he would leave the apartment, wow, he didn't want to walk backwards. So he walked sideways if he wants to fix a piece of furniture in the place or a picture or something.
That's sensitive. From the story you said before, though, you know, you know, amongst Jews, a lot of, you know, hugging come about, even new minhagim and new ideas and new practices and things like that. But halacha is still halacha, you know. So it's what I like.
A feeling cannot undo halacha. Can't. You know, there was a story once. The previous Rebbe was having a Fabrengen, and it was a very enjoyable Fabrengen, but it came time to daven mincha. So they knew the Rebbe is going to stop soon to go daven mincha because it came time for mincha. So the chassidim pushed the clock back. They pushed the clock back. Obviously, the Rebbe knew. The Rebbe realized. So he said to them, it's also a powerful answer. He says, what do you think? You connect yourself to the essence of God with a Fabrengen? No. With a simple mincha, you connect to the essence of God.
That's interesting.
In other words, a mincha is more connection to God than the Fabrengen. So if you have to daven mincha, go daven mincha.
But when they say, you know, a Fabrengen can produce more than the
Malach Michal.
Oh, right.
He said, but a mincha is a mincha. You have to daven mincha, you have to daven mincha.
What's a Malach Michal?
Angel. That it says what Hasidic gathering could do, as far as benefit for another Jew, even the angel Michal, who's the angel of kindness, can accomplish.
I see.
Minchas mincha.
So maybe we should say the minchas even.
No, I mean, okay. The Gemara speaks about being careful with mincha, you know. But, no, there's. Feelings cannot. You know, if it doesn't contradict halacha, yeah. Halacha says, listen, right now the Rebbe's not there, you have to recline. So the Rebbe's going to recline. I, in a spiritual sense, he feels that he's here, but that can't take away from the halachic obligation what you need to do. Okay. Well.